Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are blessed today. This is our second time to have the Christian Motorcycle Association with us. If you look at your insert in your bulletin, you will receive more information about them and Run for the Sun. Stan has also been a pastor. He is a member of the Ministerial Alliance, and both CMA, they also travel throughout the country going to different events. And so, welcome, and Stan, would you please introduce our guest?
Well, with me today is my lovely bride, Noreen. This George McClintock and his lovely wife, Shirley. And they're young. Tell me what you can or can't do when I got a couple who's elderly. I'm not going to say how old they are.
Really? I'm proud of every day of it. Come on.
They're in their 80s. Shirley still rides. George rides with her sometimes. They still go to as many of the events. Plus, I couldn't tell you how much local stuff that she does with Red Cross and CPS. You know, she got her hands full. But that's beside the point. The only reason I have anything to say at all is because of Jesus. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And you're welcome to come up front if you wish.
Noreen and my lovely assistants are going to hand out some cups and rag tracks. I'll explain a little bit about them in a minute. Nate, I don't want to call him a silly pastor, but anytime you let another pastor or preacher behind the pulpit, I don't know if you get it back, you know, right away.
Amen.
Amen. Preach on, brother. Preach on.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, Nate has been so kind as to publish a little flyer on the back of your prayer list. And if you haven't had a chance to look at that, that comes right off our website. And you're welcome to go to that website anytime and check up on more stuff. It's cmausa.org. We have been in existence since 1975 as an organization. We are not a club. A lot of people, they see us, they think, you know, well, this is a motorcycle club, or it's one of them, you know, motorcycle gangs, you know, and I go, just get a chuckle. We are an association of motorcyclists who are Christian with a mission to take the gospel message to motorcyclists around the world and anyone else who's willing to bend an ear and listen. So starting, like I said, 1975, Herb Shreve was a pastor of a Southern Baptist church up there in Arkansas. And he and his son were, you know, typical father-son relationship going on. So he was trying to figure out how he could reconnect with his son. So he went and bought a motorcycle. They bought two of them. So they went riding their motorcycles. And Herb and his son went to an event that was going on with a bunch of other motorcyclists were there. And the Lord spoke to him, said, you know, these people need Jesus. And so Herb said, we're going to start going to these events more often, and we're going to set up a little tent here. We're going to start coming here and doing Sunday morning services and things like that. So that's what Herb did. Over the course of time, it grew from him and his son to over 165,000 have joined this organization. Now, granted, some of them have gone to be with the Lord. There are over 1,300 chapters in the U.S. alone. We have a chapter here in the Lampasas area. We're in Kempner. There are chapters all over the place. We meet regularly. We meet and have fellowship. We go on rides. This past weekend, as an example of some of the stuff we do, We went to Kingsville, where we set up and served over 50 gallons. Am I correct?
50, yes.
They chewed me out for giving the wrong estimates to someone else earlier. 50 gallons of coffee, 50 gallons of tea, 50 gallons of lemonade, and 50 gallons or more of water. And we served them those little cups that we handed out to you today. If you'll take a look at that, it has the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ on that cup. So every time we're handing them a cup of coffee or a cold glass of water, they have been handed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we remind them, take a look at that, read it. So there at that rally, we handed out over 1,000 of these cups. The rag tracks that we gave you, that is like a shop rag. Open it up, look at it. It's like an old shop rag, and on it you'll find more information, and there's a card in there that says how to clean up your life. So it's a track to give to motorcyclists, anyone, and it's a little bit about what can you do to make your life better. Well, the most important way that you can do that is to give your life to Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
He will clean you up more so than that rag could ever possibly do. And that's what we look at. We have, you know, we have other tracks and other things that we use, but these two are our mainstays. The money to purchase those cups and rag tracks come partially out of that Run for the Sun money. A little piece of it comes out of that. Because what we do with the money we gather for Run for the Sun, 20% of it goes to an organization under Campus Crusade for Christ, the Jesus Film Project. I've lost track on just how many. Well, it says here that there's been translated into more than 1,500 languages. 1,500 languages. And it has been distributed in more and shown in more than 220 countries. Talking about countries, as well, I talk about our, we call these our partner ministries, our partners. Here a few years ago, they were looking to translate the Jesus Film into Marshallese for the people on the Marshall Islands. And so they were trying to work out the details of this, and lo and behold, up at Little Rock, Arkansas, we had a community of people from the Marshall Islands who were going to university there, and we were able to incorporate them into this translation process, and were able to get translated right then and there in Arkansas, the language translation, if you will, into Marshallese for the Jesus Film Project. God works. Don't think he doesn't. All we got to do, like Henry Blackaby said, is we need to find out where he's working and go join him. That's the key. Wherever he's working, that's where I want to be. We have had, through our partners, the Jesus Film and our ministry has put together a packet that these missionaries take to wherever in the world. They use solar chargers and batteries and projectors, and they carry a white sheet type screen, and they put it up against a grass hut and set up their sound system and show the Jesus Film right there in the village or an urban setting downtown, you know, in some European city somewhere. We have these little packets that it's a backpack deal that they carry it right on into wherever they need to go. And it's so this film is being shown worldwide in so many languages. It's just a matter of time before scripture is fulfilled. But the word of Jesus Christ has been preached throughout the world. And we're trying to help make that happen. Another ministry that we partner with is called Open Doors. Have you ever heard of Brother Andrew? Years ago, he started smuggling Bibles and started doing, you know, a ministry to take the gospel to places like Russia and China, places where, you know, you couldn't get the word in unless you did it covertly. That began an Open Doors organization, or Open Doors ministry, and we have been able to provide through Open Doors 2.7 million Bibles to people around the world. especially to those areas where it's not allowed. Missionary Ventures is another partner, and with Missionary Ventures began in Guatemala back in 1983. A group of men got together and said, we want to help this Guatemalan pastor who, you remember, in our history, we talk about the circuit rider preacher. We still have some of those, if you didn't know it, out in West Texas. They go from city to city to city, the cowboy church to cowboy church, wherever they can go and preach. In many places around the world, this is still going on. In 1983, the pastor there needed some way to get to these other churches besides walking. And if you're like me, that could take a long time. Okay? So they got a motorcycle and they took it down to this pastor, and wow, now he could take that motorcycle and ride around to all these little churches that he helped start and preach to them and serve them and minister to them. Well, that was just the beginning. From that point on, Mission Ventures International has been taking motorcycles and bicycles and horses and camels and whatever it is, a boat. If whatever that pastor needs to reach those around him in the area that he's trying to reach. We have provided so many that the numbers would just blow you away, you know, the numbers that have been given. And interesting, last year we were at, we call it Iron Mountain up there in Arkansas. That original motorcycle from 1983 was brought back with the Guatemalan pastor, and it was presented back to CMA. And it's on display now there at Iron Mountain. That original motorcycle that started all that in 1983, it's up on display there in Iron Mountain. And you just can't, you know, it's hard to wrap your mind around what a dollar can do. Put into God's hands and hand it out to those who are doing God's work, what it can do. So there's 60% of the money we collect for Run for the Sun goes to these three entities, 20, 20, 20. The other 40% we used, like I said, to buy cups and rag tracks and Bibles and do all kinds of stuff here in the United States and the local areas in Mexico and Canada where we go out and reach the lost for Christ. Last weekend, like I said, Noreen and I were at an event where we were serving a large motorcycle group. We ministered to this group year-round at smaller rallies. Their little chapters have their own little rallies. And we go and serve and then have a Sunday morning service on Sunday where we preach the gospel. Not counting the witnessing, the prayers, and all the stuff we've done for a day or two while we've been there. Now, we just had our run, what we call our Run for the Sun ride in May. So we're on a new year for us. This is our 2019 where we go. Yes, it is. She's questioning me. We just finished our 2018 Run for the Sun. Technically, we're now in our 2019 Run for the Sun. Don't worry about semantics. They do up there, I don't. The bottom line is, on average, every dollar given to CMA has been equal to a soul being saved for Jesus Christ. You can't get better bang for the buck than that. I don't care what ministry you want to talk about, where you want to go. It is really hard to make that happen anywhere. And it's only because we volunteer. We're not paid. Our local chapter pays for our local events. CMA doesn't pay for the cups and rag tracks and stuff that we use locally. Only when we go to a big national event like we did last weekend, where that Run for the Sun money comes into play. When we go to a little chapter event like we'll do in Lomita and other places, We raise the money out of our pockets for that. So not a dime goes to us or to our chapter. It's all going into the mission field. All for Jesus. All for Jesus. So that's what I have to say to you this morning. If you want to make a difference in this world, you want to see the gospel reach to every soul in this world, I ask you to support Run for the Sun. We're trying to make that happen. That's all I can tell you. Thank God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy life to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I
had to pull over laughing too hard to drive safely. Of course, lying can be a much more serious matter. Juan Castillo was scheduled to die on December 14, 2017. He was supposed to be the last prisoner on death row executed in Texas last year. But on November 29th, the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals delayed his execution and sent his case back to re-examine false testimony used to convict him. Our words can be a matter of life and death. The Ninth Commandment, verse 16, giving false testimony is explained at least in part in Exodus chapter 23, where the context is clearly legal. It refers to not to lying in general, but bearing false testimony in a legal courtroom. Israelite justice depended upon witnesses to a much larger extent than in modern times. They did not have CSI. They did not have fingerprint evidence. They did not have surveillance cameras or any of those modern conveniences. They had to have honest witnesses of integrity. Some of these matters are elaborated in the book of Deuteronomy. For example, a death sentence is so important that it required two or three unanimous witnesses. In addition, anyone who accuses someone of murder must cast the first stone. If the accusation is false, the accuser bears the punishment the accused would have borne had the accusation been accurate. Probably no ambulance chasers in Israel. No frivolous lawsuits if you get the punishment if you're the one lying. Leviticus renders the commandment against false witness more specific with detailed instructions. It broadens the law to include gossip and slander against one's neighbor in general. You must not lie about your neighbor in or out of court. Leviticus 19, 11 through 22. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19, 15 through 16. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. In Egypt, God's people had been the victims of false testimony. Pharaoh had said that they were too lazy to work on Sunday when they were observing the Sabbath. As with other commandments, the focus of this one is not solely on personal morality, but on the community. In ancient Israel, anything you did affected your family and affected the community. And there are many places around the world where you are not to bring dishonor upon your family or upon your community. It's how one's behavior affects the health and well-being of the fledgling Israelite community, a new nation plucked out of slavery by God's mighty hand. God has trained them how to be people in Canaan, in the promised land, to be order amid chaos, to be a holy people and a kingdom of priests, so that by looking at them, other nations will know that Yahweh is God. Today, our conduct also affects our community. Our actions directly influence how people think about the church and how people think about Jesus. I've heard one person say, I love Jesus, I just don't like his followers. Paul explains it simply. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. We are clothed in Christ. We are to wear armor of righteousness. We have been transformed. Our minds have been transformed. We are to live as citizens of heaven and not to go back to Egypt. Not to go back to the slavery of sin. To ensure that we do not lie, we need to have a proper understanding of what is truth. The Greek word for truth is aletheia, which literally means to unhide or hide nothing. It conveys the thought that truth is always there, always open and available for all to see, with nothing being hidden or obscured. The Hebrew word for truth means firmness, consistency, duration. It is solid. Such a definition implies everlasting substance and something that can be relied upon. If we are truthful people, we are reliable. Alan Redpath, who was a British evangelist and pastor, gave the following illustration. What a startling revelation it would be if a tape recording could be played of all that every church member has said about his fellow members in 1 week. Probably the sneakiest sin that we deal with is gossip, because we usually don't even know we're gossiping when we're gossiping. Gossip is such a difficult sin to deal with. If someone recorded our comments about other people, what would they hear? And when I point one finger at you, I'm pointing three back at me. Do we build people up only on Sunday, or do we edify each other all through the week? Satan, his minions, and our sin natures are always there to encourage a lie. Think about the Garden of Eden and what trouble came of a lie. And Jesus himself was the victim of false witness. In some ways, we may say that false witness sent Jesus to the cross. We can break the ninth commandment through slander, talebearing, creating false impressions by silence, by questioning the motives behind someone's actions, or even by false flattery. Redpath noted, slander is a lie invented and spread with intent to do harm. That is the worst form of injury a person can do to another. Compared to one who does this, a gangster is a gentleman, and a murderer is kind, because he ends life in a moment with a stroke and with little pain. But the man guilty of slander ruins a reputation which may never be regained and causes lifelong suffering. And the children in our schools today are being bullied worse than ever, because now people can go online and spread falsehoods and lies about them on social media, and there are even children that are committing suicide because of the lives of their classmates. Gossip is repeating a report about a person without careful investigation. This is the problem with false news and in critically accepting information about people. Just because something is in the newspaper, on email, on television, or on Facebook does not make it true. We read that the Israelites had a big problem with lying. How often do we lie today? Psychology Today examined that issue. According to studies by Dr. Bella DiPaolo, people lie in 1 in 5 of their interactions. These lies aren't only to strangers or to peripheral figures. Couples regularly deceive each other. DiPaolo's research showed that dating couples lie to each other about a third of the time, while married couples do about 1 out of 10 interactions. While people seem to tell fewer of the little or everyday lies to loved ones, 64% of our serious lies or deep betrayals of trust involve people's closest relationship partners. Why should we tell the truth? Living a life of truth is consistent with our new nature in Christ. We are Christians. We are followers of the way. We have been transformed. We're being made new. We are new creations. We will be with the Lord in a new heavens and a new earth. That should transform and change the way we live our lives. We should tell the truth because we're all members of one body, the church. We're all in this together. Christians from throughout time, Christians from around the world, Christians of various denominations. We should all treat each other as family. And treat each other as the family we like. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, or we are all members of one body. The Lord loves truth and hates falsehood. Proverbs 12:12. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. Albert Einstein, pretty smart guy, he noted this: whoever is careless with the truth in small matters cannot be trusted with important matters. Both King Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, and Albert Einstein agree that we should be truthful. The Lord loves the truth and is looking for trustworthy servants. Telling the truth is wise. Proverbs 28:18. The one whose walk is blameless is kept safe, but the one whose ways are perverse will fall into the pit. Thomas Jefferson said, honesty is the first chapter of the book of wisdom. We read that the fool is the one who lies, but the wise are those who accept the truth. If you tell the truth, you don't even have to remember what you're lying about. Lying tends to make our problems even worse. Furthermore, have you noticed that lying is often stupid? Both the Watergate and the Monica Lewinsky scandals were worse because of the lies that were told to try to cover them up. Often the cover-up is worse than the actual crime. After a breathalyzer test showed her blood alcohol level was more than four times the legal limit, a New York State woman was arrested. But she said there was an explanation. Her excuse: she suffered from auto-brewery syndrome. Her body created alcohol. Mm-hmm. Another disputed DUI occurred in Wisconsin. The 75-year-old driver told officers he hadn't touched a drop. His excuse: his blood alcohol level was high because his dinner was beer-battered fish. Be careful with those fish and those poppy seed kolaches. On February 7th at 4:30 p.m., a driver was pulled over by going over 100 miles per hour. The man, however, asked the police officer to be quick. He was in a hurry. His excuse: he had tickets to the Super Bowl in Santa Clara, California, and kickoff was at 6:30. There was only one slight problem. Police were skeptical because the stop occurred in Pennsylvania. When a Florida bicyclist was detained, police found crack cocaine in his pants pocket. Wait, what? Said the man. His excuse: he had no idea the crack had gotten into his pants because they weren't his pants. The cash the cop found? Yeah, that was his, but not the crack. The truth is a sign that we love each other. John 3:18. Dear children, let us love not with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had this to say: I refuse to accept the view that mankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war that the bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word. William Shakespeare: no legacy is so rich as honesty. What I call upon us today is to examine our lives carefully. How is it that we are living? How can we be more truthful to our family members, co-workers, our neighbors, to those we meet on the street? How can we share the love and grace and faith and hope of Christ to a world that needs it? Please join me for our benediction. It is from Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.